It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Late last month, people across the nation marked the 10-year anniversary of Obergefell versus Hodges. That's the U.S. Supreme Court case that affirmed marriage equality for all, including same-sex couples.
Also last month, the National Southern Baptist Church, the nation's largest Protestant denomination, formalized efforts to reverse that U.S. Supreme Court case and effectively ban same-sex marriage.
Although that effort could take years, the news has sent shockwaves through Wisconsin's religious community.
Two openly gay Wisconsin clergy join us now to share their story and their thoughts on last month's news. Reverend Tim Schaefer has served as the pastor of First Baptist Church in Madison since 2020 and is the first openly gay pastor to do so. He co-hosts the Christian and Name Only podcast. And Reverend Heather Urien-Keck is a pastor serving two congregations, Calvary Lutheran Church in Two Rivers and St. Paul Lutheran in Manitowoc. Reverend Urien-Keck, thanks for joining us.
I am very glad to be here. Thank you for asking me.
And Reverend Schaefer, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Now, Tim, take us back. It's been just over 10 years since the Supreme Court decision that made a same-sex marriage legal across the country. Can you take us back to your vantage point, your reaction to that decision?
Yeah, I have to say that my spouse and I were married before that decision in a state where it was legal. We actually were married in California. And we did that strategically. My family was living there at the time, and we traveled to a state and kind of chose that based on where we could legally get married. And the Obergefell decision, we just celebrated that because we knew that was a guarantee that not only the federal government would recognize our marriage and that we would get all the benefits that come with marriage, but that also it freed us up to move, you know, from state to state and have that guarantee of our marriage being recognized, of our relationship being recognized. That was a huge, huge, huge moment.
And Heather, same question for you. Can you take us back to what that meant just over 10 years ago for you?
It was pretty much the same thing. We had been married prior to that also, and we had to travel to a state that we could get married in because we were living in a state that it wasn't recognized. And then finally having that federal recognition that allowed us the freedom to have recognition no matter where we lived was a freedom and a big shrug of relief that we would be free and recognized and honored wherever we lived was just tremendous.
I want to ask each of you what this issue has looked like in your own congregations. Obviously not universal agreement among Christians, among denominations. This time, Heather, Reverend Urien-Keck, let's start with you. You're at Lutheran congregations in Two Rivers and Manitowoc. How do people talk about this? Do people talk about this?
I'm an ELCA congregation, and the ELCA says on paper that we openly accept and we openly call, but there is a complete variance from congregation to congregation about their willingness to talk about it and their willingness to accept it. I am presently at a congregation that stepped up and agreed to call an openly gay pastor. But I can tell you that in my call process that I was turned down by two congregations because of my relationship. They were not ready, willing, or able to accept a pastor that was anything other than straight. So there is just so much variety in that response.
And Tim, you're at the First Baptist Church in Madison. How, to what extent is same-sex marriage a topic of conversation?
I will say it is not so much anymore, aside from folks sort of lamenting that this isn't a policy that all Baptist churches embrace. So the history of my congregation is they had a big discussion about this when they made the decision to formally become welcoming and affirming in 1994. So really one of the earliest congregations, even in Madison, but certainly among the first Baptist churches in the country to become open and affirming. And so they have wrestled with that kind of well in their past, and that's not an issue anymore. And the one thing I will say about Baptists, which is interesting, and it may be a little bit different, you know, among other denominations, is that we have what we call a congregational polity, which means that the congregations get to make decisions about how they do ministry. That's rooted really deeply in the sort of historic Baptist tradition of these four freedoms. One of those is church freedom, that we have that autonomy to do ministry the way we see fit. Bible freedom, we get to interpret scripture the way that, you know, we see fit as individuals, but also as congregations. And so these are the kinds of things, you know, wrestling with what this says, what scripture says about these relationships and the sanctity of marriage is something that my congregation did. They did that work a long time ago.
Now, another Baptist denomination, maybe the best known in the country, the Southern Baptist denomination, voted to say, hey, we are going to actively seek to overturn this Obergefell decision from 10 years ago and make it possible then for states to make same-sex marriage illegal. Complicated feelings, maybe, seeing this active effort from a major denomination within that Baptist umbrella.
Yes. No, that's absolutely true. My congregation is primarily American Baptist, and the American Baptist Churches USA and the Southern Baptist Convention have a long history. They split over the issue of slavery, which many denominations did. But I will say that more and more the Southern Baptist Convention seems to be eroding some of those four foundational freedoms that Baptists, the first Baptists in America, really championed. And the way that that's sort of playing out now is that the denomination is making decisions about how scripture should be interpreted on all sorts of issues, including gay marriage, but all sorts of hot button issues, and also how their churches ought to do ministry. And so they don't, you know, Southern Baptist churches really don't have that freedom anymore to do ministry in a way that's authentic to them and meaningful for their context. And sadly, Southern Baptists tend to be the loudest voices in the room. And so we get a lot of people who come and visit us sort of hesitantly for the first time. And all they know about Baptists is what they hear from the Southern Baptist Convention. And so I appreciate you in the intro mentioning that that among Christian denominations and even within Christian denominations, there is a lot of diversity. And there is among American Baptists. I will say the American Baptists in Wisconsin, we First Baptist out of 50-some-odd congregations are the only open and affirming congregation formally. I am the only openly queer pastor in any church in a Baptist church in Wisconsin. If you go to other areas like the Chicago metro area or the West Coast or the Northeast, you have a lot more openness. And so there's a huge range.
And Heather, the same story is there for the broad umbrella of what we might call Lutheranism, Lutheran churches. You are in the ELCA, sometimes I think thought of as one of the more liberal denominations in Christianity in the U.S. Lutheranism includes some of the most conservative, I think, denominations or sub-denominations in the U.S. Can you talk about the spectrum of attitudes towards same-sex marriage within the Lutheran faith?
There's everything from it's probably sentiment close to the Southern Baptist beliefs to everything welcome, open, and affirming. Definitely, if you step out of the ELCA and you go to the Missouri Synod or the Wells, it definitely falls along the lines of the more conservative line. It is not openly accepted. There is just no belief that there is a place in the church for gay marriage or the LGBTQI community. There is just the whole diversity, like in the Baptist faith, in the Lutheran, in the bigger, broader Lutheran umbrella.
We are looking at the 10-year anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision that effectively legalized same-sex marriage in all states in the United States. And challenges to that going on. We've got two openly gay clergy from Wisconsin with us, Reverend Heather Urien Keck with the Calvary Lutheran Church in Two Rivers and St. Paul Lutheran in Manitowoc, Reverend Tim Schaefer, pastor of First Baptist Church in Madison. I want to hear some of your personal stories. And Tim, let's start with you. Your story was in the news. You were national news in some ways. And your father, can you take us back to your marriage and the decision your father made and the backlash to that?
Sure. I will say this was my first marriage since divorced and remarried. But my dad performed the ceremony. We were living at the time in Boston. And Massachusetts was, you know, among the first states, or maybe the first state that legalized gay marriage. And shortly thereafter, we were married. It was very important to have this be a family affair. It wasn't actually a ceremony. Wasn't even in a church. It was in a restaurant, family only. And so my dad traveled up. He was at the time serving as a United Methodist pastor in kind of a rural Pennsylvania congregation. And he performed the ceremony. His signature, of course, then was on our wedding certificate. And due to whatever struggles were happening within his congregation, somebody decided that the best way to embarrass him or to perhaps get him out of that congregation was to look up this marriage certificate with his signature on it, because that act at the time violated the United Methodist Church's Book of Discipline. And so a complaint was filed. They were not able to resolve that. It ended up in a trial, and he was convicted of performing my marriage and subsequently defrocked, meaning his credentials were stripped away, and he was ousted from his, not just his congregation, but from their conference. Fortunately, through some sort of legal maneuvering, because believe it or not, churches, denominations, they have these legal systems, courts, very much structured after the American court system, which I find very odd. But in any case, on a technicality, maybe a year later or so, he was reinstated and then did ministry in California. But that was, I will say, the pain of having to go through this very public spectacle of a trial and being questioned. And I was one of those, you know, quote unquote, witnesses in this trial and being asked very personal questions. It was hard on my family. It was a really painful event.
So how do you go from that to, yeah, I'm going to answer the call and become a pastor?
I will tell you that when I was younger, I watched my dad and I wanted to be a pastor. And because I did not see a lot of openly queer clergy like myself that I could identify with that were sort of role models, I convinced myself it was not possible and I kind of went a different path. I will say the moment of this trial actually reignited that calling to ministry. And the reason was, yes, the church was putting my dad on trial, but what happened was hundreds of supporters came to support my family and support my dad to be present in this hearing, because it's an open hearing, anybody can attend. So many people that the room was filled to capacity, and there were still many people outside of the building holding signs and chanting and praying and singing. And I thought, wow, there is this movement I was previously unaware of folks within denominations fighting for equality, just to be recognized as a human being. And that I wanted to be a part of that. And so that really reignited my calling into the ministry.
And Heather, can you take us through your story? I understand feeling like denominations did not accept you, and then to the point where you took this call.
I had grown up at the church, grew up in the Lutheran church before the EALCA formed. And then when I came out in the early 90s, was living in the lower Midwest in the time of the Westboro Baptist Church and its prevalence of hate and protesting at gay funerals and protesting in street corners and just this prominent message of hate and fear-mongering around just being in the LGBTQI community. And so I walked away from the church because I didn't feel that there was any other church saying anything about how there was a place in the church for me as a lesbian. And it was at least 15, 20 years before I could walk back into church and feel that there was a place. I never walked away from God, but I walked away from church. And when I walked back in, it was because there was a rainbow sticker on somebody's bumper in the car in the parking lot. And then what got ignited in me was that I knew there was a whole generation of people my age that had been hurt and injured by the church. And the church is not saying anything that there was a place for beloved creations of God like myself. And so that ignited my call to come back to the church and be that voice for the people who had been hurt by the church and to bring them back. Or at least to let them know that they're still loved, even if they can't believe in the church.
I'll leave it there. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Heather, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Reverend Heather Urienkek is a pastor serving two congregations, Calvary Lutheran Church in Two Rivers and St. Paul Lutheran in Manitowoc. And Reverend Tim Schaefer has served as the pastor of First Baptist Church in Madison since 2020. He's the first openly gay pastor to do so. He co-hosts the Christian in Name Only podcast. But talk about their experiences on the 10-year anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage earlier this summer.